The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Shlach, Shiur 11. In the end of the Parashas Shlach, we have the Parsha of Tzitzis, which we read every day, morning and evening, in the Krishma. Vayimar Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'mat aleihem. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, V'osu lehem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeihem l'dei rishon. You shall make tzitzis on the corners of your garments for generations. V'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof psil tcheles. And you shall put in the tzitzis which is on your corner a strand, a string of tcheles. Tcheles is a certain color which is similar to blue, which we will speak about it, which we will speak of. V'hoyolachem l'tzitzis, and these shall be for tzitzis, or yisem eishoi, you shall see them, uzechatem is called mitzvah Hashem, and you shall remember all of the mitzvahs Hashem, v'asisem eishon, and you will come to do all of the mitzvahs. V'leishasura achrei levavachem, v'achrei neichem, asher atem zonim achareihem, and you will not be turned away to follow your heart and your eyes, which draw you and tempt you to other things. The mantiskru vasisem is called mitzvosoi. In order that you shall remember and do all of my mitzvahs, viyisem kidoshim lelekechem, and you shall be sanctified to Hashem. Ani Hashem elekechem, asher otzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Egypt, viyis lachem leelohim, in order to be for you a God. Ani Hashem elekechem, I am the Lord your God. This is the Parsha of Tzitzis, again, which we read every day, excuse me, every morning and evening in the Parshas of the Krishma. Name, I'd like to speak a little about this mitzvah of Tzitzis. Firstly, let's speak about some of the main halachas, main laws which apply to this mitzvah. Every man in Israel, this is a mitzvah which you were given to men and not women, because it was the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah which is governed by time. Every man in Israel is obligated to place tzitzis in a garment which he wears. If this garment has four corners or more, that means this is not what the Gemara calls, it's not a chavis mono, but it's a chavis gavra. It's not an obligation to place the tzitzis on the garment, but rather an obligation on the wearer of the garment to place the tzitzis on the garment, which would mean that if you're not wearing the garment, you're not obligated to put tzitzis in, only when you wear it. And it states that you put the tzitzis on the four corners, which means that the garment must have at least four corners. If the garment has five corners or six corners or eight corners, you're also obligated to place tzitzis in it, but you place it only in the four corners, the four extreme corners. Secondly, now, what is very important, what we're going to do here is cover some of the more basic and more important factors of this mitzvah. Secondly, the mitzvah of tzitzis is one mitzvah asay. It's one positive commandment, but it actually encompasses two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs? The two mitzvahs is the mitzvah of lovon and the mitzvah of tchelis. The mitzvah of the white tzitzis and the mitzvah of the blue tzitzis. Again, it's one mitzvah. If a person fulfills this mitzvah, he has fulfilled one mitzvah. If a person wears such a garment without tzitzis, he has transgressed one mitzvah. But there are two mitzvahs in this mitzvah. A mitzvah of lovon, a mitzvah to put in the garment white tzitzis, and a mitzvah of tchelis to put in your garment the blue tzitzis. And there are einon ma'akfa isel zeh zeh. You can, many times, you have to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa in its entirety, or it's worthless. That's how it is by many, many mitzvahs. Here, this is not the case. You can fulfill the mitzvah with just the lovan, and you have fulfilled the mitzvah. You have not fulfilled the entire mitzvah, but you are still fulfilling a mitzvah. That's what we do today, because we do not have the blue tzitzis. And we're fulfilling the mitzvah, and we're making brachas on it, but we are not fulfilling the mitzvah in its entirety. You can fulfill the mitzvah just with the blue tzitzis. And the same would apply. But to fulfill the entire mitzvah, you have to have both. But this is different than other mitzvahs, because generally by other mitzvahs, if you do not do them, do not fulfill them the way they have to be fulfilled, then it's as if you do not fulfill it at all. The mitzvah of lovon, mitzvah to put the white tzitzis, that is to make tzitzis. The tzitzis we're referring to is these strings, and they are braided. To make them, to make the strings from tzemer or pishti, from wool, or from flax, or from other types of materials. The Gemara goes into the fact that if you make them from wool, so that's good for a wool garment, and that's good for any other type of garment, with the possible exception of flax. If you make them from flax, that's linen, that would be good for a linen garment, and it would be good for any other garment, with the possible exception of wool. This is a question. If you make them of other materials, then that will be good only for a garment which is made of that same material. That's what the Gemara calls semer upishtin peitrin bein b'mina in bein b'she'ena mina. Shar meaning peitrin dafke b'mina. So I'll mention this again, that the tzitzis can be made of any material. We're assuming here, there's also another discussion in the Gemara, that there are some opinions that hold that when the Torah says that you shall place tzitzis al kamfei bidehem on the corner of your garments, this is referring only to a garment of wool or linen, not other materials. And that we place tzitzis on other materials is only an obligation midrabonon, a rabbinical obligation. Others hold no, that when the Torah said on the garments, in the corners of your garment, this refers to all types of materials. But at any rate, assuming that it refers to all types of materials, then you can make tzitzis from all types of materials. But if they are wool, then they help on all materials, with the possible exception of linen. If they are linen, then they help on all materials, with the possible exception of a woolen garment. But if they are other materials, they will only help on a garment of that same material. When the tzitzis are made, let's say they're made from wool or from linen, it must be spun with the explicit intention that this is being done for the mitzvah tzitzis. Must be made l'shem mitzvah. So the manufacturing of the strings itself have to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. If not, it doesn't qualify. It's not kosher. It has to be done through a Jew and not through a non-Jew, because it states Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, the osuli, and make. This is regarding the lovan, the mitzvah of the white. Now a few factors regarding the mitzvah of the tcheles, of the blue. That also has to be made similar, like we mentioned, the white. You have to take the material, you have to spin it, it has to be done l'shem mitzvah, and you make the strings. But that has to be made only for wool. So again, the loven can be made from many materials, but the tchelis, the blue, that can be made only from wool. Then, in addition, after it's made, you have to dye it. And it was dyed with this particular dye, which was called tchelis. As it states, but also says in the parsha, it says, also lehem tzitzis al kamfei vigdehem, you shall make tzitzis on the corners of their garment, that's the white, v'nosno al tzitzis hakonav, and you shall place on the tzitzis of the corner, psil tcheles, a string of blue tzitzis. So this was made in the same manner as the white tzitzis, except it had to be, with two exceptions, it had to be made only from wool, and it had to be dyed with this dye that's called tcheles. The dye, aside from the fact, which had to be made by an expert, because it was a very, very particular dye, and it was a very, very difficult malocha, a difficult art to get this dye correct. It also, the dye had to be made, and the tzitzis had to be dyed the shei mitzvah, also for the purpose of mitzvah. If it was not, then it would not qualify. What was this dye, which we said is this blue color? The Gemara in Menoches, Daf Mem Gimel, explains to us, and let me just quote a few lines from the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Beis, of Hilchos Tzitzis Halacha, Aleph and Beis. Tcheles Hamura B'Torah. Incidentally, this blue dye was used for the tzitzis, but it was also used for other mitzvahs. For example, it was used in the building of the Mishkan. There was this wool also used there. It was also used in the Big Day Kohuna, in the garments of the Kohen, of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest. Tcheles Hamura B'Torah B'Chol Mokom. The tcheles, which the Torah refers to, he hatzemer, hatzavua. This is the wool, which was colored, which was dyed, kipotuk shebekchol, with a color which was similar to a blue. Vizuhi demus harakia, on the rais le'ein hashemish b'tara shel rakia. It's difficult for us to pinpoint exactly what it looked like. We don't color our tzitzis today with this blue, because we're not sure exactly what it is and how to get it. But we have some clues. The Gemara brings that why did the Torah choose this type of dye? Sha'tcheles de meliyam, because this was similar to the color of the sea. And the color of the sea is similar to the color of the heavens. And the heavens are similar to the color of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Shinama, because it states, when they went to receive the Torah, and the heavens opened up, so they saw Tachas Raglov Kimase Livna Sasapir, Uketzim HaShemayim L'Teher. They saw under Hashem's feet, there was the Livnas HaSapir, there were bricks which were the color of a sapphire, made out of sapphire. And we know sapphire is a blue, and it was the color of the heavens. Uksiv Evan Sapir Dumus Kise. And it states that the throne of the Almighty is made from sapphire. So from here, we see it's in the family of the blue. The Yishalmi then brings that Atcheles de Mele Esav, the Atcheles was similar to the grass, Esav de Mele Yam, and the grass was similar to the sea. So there it seems that we would be speaking more of an aqua color, or a turquoise, a blue green. Many times the color of the sea is a blue green. But the Gemara says that if a person will see this, so it will remind him of the sea, and the sea will remind him of the heaven, and the heaven will remind him of the throne of Hashem. Rashi, here in our Pasha, on the word Cheles, Rashi brings at the end, very end of the parsha, Tzeva Tchilas Deimel Rekia HaMashchir Le'es Erev. The color of the Tchilas is similar to the heavens which darken towards evening. This is the last Rashi in the parsha, which darkens towards the evening. So there it would indicate that we're speaking of a dark blue, almost a blue-black. So we have, could be a medium blue, it could be a dark blue, it could be an aqua or a turquoise, but it's something in that family. This type of dye, if it's legitimate, Rambam will tell us in a minute from the Gemara where it was supposed to be obtained from, but if it's legitimate, then Tzviyose Tzviya Yudua She'emedes B'yefio V'le Tishtana. Then it's the type, this dye will hold its color all of the time, and it'll never fade. Many colors begin to fade, especially when you wash them. This will not fade, and it'll hold its color and its beauty all of the time. Then he explains that how they would dye the wool, and this has to do with the art of dyeing and coloring. First, they would prepare the wool. Then, ve'achakach mevin dam chalosin. They would bring the blood from a certain creature which was called the chalozim. What was the chalozim? So the Rambam says, "V'hu dag shedei me einay le'ein atcheles." This was a fish that its color was the color of the tcheles. So the fish itself was this color, a certain blue. Domei shocha kejoy, and its blood was black like ink. But when it was mixed with the proper recipes and placed on the white wool, then it became this blue that we're referring to. The Gemara tells us, where did you find this chalozim? So it states, it was in the yam, it was ola min hayam, the Gemara says. It would be ola min hayam, it would come up from the sea once every 70 years. The Rambam adds here, ubeyam hamelech humotsui. And one, this was common in the Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech generally refers to the Salt Sea, which will refer to the Dead Sea. Now, there are a number of questions when it came to the Chalosim. The Rambam here says it was a fish. And he says it's coming up from the sea. There's a Gemara that says that it was similar to a fish, which led others to believe that it was not really a fish, but perhaps some other type of creature. There's a Rashi in one place which brings it's a Rashi in Shas which brings that it would be found ala oretz, on the land, which would seem that it would come up from the sea and then crawl onto the land. There's a question. We're not sure what it was. And there's another question. Was it something that was tohor atome? Was it kosher or not kosher? If it was a fish, then it could have been a kosher fish. If it was some creature of the sea, generally the creatures of the seas are not kosher. There's even a possibility from some that it seems that it might have even lived on the land. Lived on the land, then it would be Misharotze or Oretz, and it wouldn't be kosher. This is a discussion. This leads into another discussion. This is a is another discussion, and that the Gemara brings Masechet Shabbos that for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, you have to have Min Hamuter Beficho. Has to be made from something which is kosher to eat. For example, the leather that a Sefer Torah or a mezuzah, a tefillin are made from, it must be from such an animal which would be kosher to eat. The same thing with the thread. Actually, the Sefer Torah and the tefillin are sewn. What they use is called gut. It's so sewn from thread that comes from an animal. It must be from an animal which is kosher to eat. It's a question amongst the Achreinim, what goes even into the Rishainim, that is this by all mitzvahs? Anything that you perform a mitzvah with, must it be made with something that's kosher, that's from a kosher element? Or maybe it's only by Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas. There's a good reason to distinguish between the two, because all objects of mitzvahs are not considered to be sanctified. For example, our tzitzis, you can go into unclean places with them. A lulav, an esrog, when you're finished, you can discard them. You don't have to put them in the shemesh. A shofar is the same thing. Well, you should treat them with some respect because they were used for a mitzvah. But you don't have to put them into the shemus. But by Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, you do. There it's different. There you're going to have to conduct yourself in the highest manner of sanctity with them. You cannot bring them into unclean places. When they're no longer usable, they have to be just merely set aside in what we call shemus. And the reason for that is because those have the Shem Hashem. Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzas have the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu written, the Kedusha with sanctity. So therefore there's a good reason to distinguish in this principle between that category and other categories. See, the question would be if, for example, let's say if you could get a good shofar from an animal, but it would be the type of animal that's not a kosher animal. Is that a good shofar or not? So this is a question, a shaila. If we say that the halozim was not a kosher creature, so then we could solve that question, because here we're using an element which is not kosher for the chepzei mitzvah, for the object of mitzvah, and we see it's not a problem. Actually, who has a whole long discussion on this is the Gaon Reb Shmuel Lander, the son of Reb Cheskel Lander, the native Yehuda. Now there's another question. The Rambam, the Gemara doesn't mention where it's found in particular. The Rambam here states, "B'yam HaMelech Motzui," can be found in the Salt Sea. As mentioned, the Salt Sea usually refers to the Dead Sea. Now this is very wondrous, because in the Dead Sea they find no life. Salt content is too high for anything to live there. So how can the Rambam say that this is found in the Dead Sea? This is a kasha I had for many, many years. One day I found, excuse me, we have a guest that comes here often, Rav Nissen Aaron Tukachinsky. And one year he brought us this volume from his father, Olava Shalom, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky, who was a great Gaon. He wrote many Sforim, but one set of Sforim he wrote is called the Ir HaKodesh VaHamikdosh. And there he deals with all facets of Halacha which will be pertinent when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So he deals with the Tcheles. So he asks the question, but he asks it, and he brings from others, and he goes through a whole pilpul. He says a good answer, and he brings proof to it. He says, when the Rambam writes Yam HaMelech, he doesn't mean the Salt Sea, he doesn't mean the Dead Sea. He means to exclude freshwater seas. We have two types of seas. We have salt water, and we have freshwater seas. This is what the Rambam means. When he says it's Motzoi B'Yam HaMelech, so he means it's found in salt water. It's not found in freshwater seas. From there he makes a very good note. He brings, I believe it's from the Zohar, that the Zohar says that it can be found in Yam Kinneret, in the Kinneret. The Kinneret is a freshwater sea. It's not a salt water. So this would be not like the Rambam says. Now we have the making of the loven, of the white, and we have the making of the tcheles, of the blue. Now what did they do with them? So the Rambam brings as follows. Again, there are different opinions in this, but this is what the Rambam brings. He brings this in Perek Aleph, Halachot Vav and Zayin. He says, "Ketzar esin es atzitzis." How do you make the tzitzis? Maskel mizove shel talish u sefer oruk u marchik mena leyesa al shleishet boz lemalav lepochus bikesh gedel u machnam arba chutim mekeiflim beemtsa. You take the garment and on the floor you go to a corner. You put a hole in the corner, and the corner should be, the hole should be not too far from the corner and not too close from the to the corner. There are certain dimensions. If you take four strands, and you put the four strands through the hole, and you double it over, so you have eight now. Now, Rambam says, "Echod mishmeina hachutim chut cheles v'ashiva levonim." One of those strands should be cheles, and the other three should be white. So that when you double it over, so and you have eight, so you have six white and two Tchelis. So the Rambam says one strand, one should be Tchelis. On this, there are two opinions. The opinion of others, the Ivan and Tesis, holds two of the strands should be the Tchelis. Not just one, but the Rambam holds one, and the reason is because it states in the Torah that you shall make Psil Tchelis, a strand of Tchelis, a strand of blue wool, which implies one. Now, when you make the tzitzis, so you will take one of the strands and you start to wind it around the other tzitzis. So he says as follows: Lakeach chut echod min aloven, v'kerech ba kricha achas, ashara chutim, v'tzara begru v'nicha. You take one of the white strands and you wind it around the other strands once. Then you take the chut hatchelus. Then you take the blue and you wind it around twice. And then you tie knots. And you've made what is called a chulia, like a braid. Now this is what we do. It's different ways how to count how many times you should go around to make the braid. But here, he says that the first braid that you make, the first chulia, the first time you wind around is done with the white. And the next two is done with the blue. So you see the tzitzis, what the tchelis are going to be, the braid is going to have a mixture of the blue and white. Then he says, Marchit miat veise chul yishnia, v'chut shal tchelis levadai. Then you make a second braid. But the second braid is made only with the tchelis. So your first braid is made first with white. The first time you went around is with white, and the next two times with blue. You tie knots. And the second chulia, the second braid, is made only with the tchelis, only with the blue. Umarchik biat, veise chulia shlishis, v'chein ad chulia achreina, shukerich bo shtei kriche shel tchelis, u'krich achreina shel lovan. And then you continue this way. In other words, you make them all out of blue. Except at the end, the last kricha, the last time you twist it around, should be white. Since you started with white, you end with white. So that's how each tzitzis was made on each corner. That when the strands that came out of the garment were all white, except one strand was blue. But the braids that were made, so the first time you went around was white. He says the reason why you start with white, he later on explains, since the garment is white. It's the color of the garment. And then the next times you go around are blue. And each braid that you make are all with the blue. Except at the end, the last one, since you started with the white, you end with the white. And this is how you shall make it on all four corners. So this is very interesting to us because this is a mitzvah that we do not have today. We have the mitzvah of loven, the mitzvah of the white. But the mitzvah of the blue we do not have because we don't know how to find this chalosim, this fish or whatever it was. And therefore, we're not used to seeing tzitzis that way. But in the days when they had it, so you would have, instead of white tzitzis hanging, you would have white tzitzis with a blue strand, and your braids would have a lot of blue in them and some white. Another interesting halacha is the Rambam brings, this the Gemara says, these are all Gemaras, but the Rambam brings it in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin. What happens if you have a ksus shel pishtim? You have a linen garment. So according to the Torah, we would say as follows. You have a linen garment, so you would put in that garment, let us say, linen stitches for the white, but you couldn't put in for the trellis for the blue linen, because the blue had to be made only from semer, as we mentioned, only from wool. So you would have to put in, therefore, wool and tzitzis also. Now when you put wool and you attach it to a linen garment, you're going to have what's called klein, shatnes. We're not allowed to wear tzemer or pishtim yachdo. We're not allowed to wear such a garment. But in this case, the Torah said we are allowed to. It says that the mitzvah of tzitzis takes precedence over the transgression of shatnes of klein. So therefore, according to the Torah, you had a linen garment, then you would put in linen tzitzis, but one of the tzitzis, at least, would have to be wool, because that was going to be your tchelis. But the Chachomim now came along, and they said as follows, Ksusho pishtin ein matilin bo tchelis eleisin alovin bilvad shokuti pishtin. They came along and they said, you should only put in the linen white, and do not put in the tchelis, the blue. Lei mibnei shatzitzis nidochis mibnei hashatnes. Not because you could not do such a thing, because the Torah said you are allowed to do such a thing. But elekzeira midivereihem shem yiskasibo belailo. The Chachomim wanted to protect us from being transgressing an Easter prohibition, because the mitzvah of tzitzis is only during the day, as it states. As it states, Urisem Esoi. Torah says you should put on tzitzis on your garment and see them. So we learn from there it has to be b'shasriya, at a time when they can be seen. The mitzvah of tzitzis is only during the day. So during the day you would have permission to place wool, your woolen tzitzis, your woolen tchelis in a garment of linen. But at night you wouldn't have to. So if you were wearing such a garment, you would have to take it off before nightfall. They were afraid, the Chachomim, that people sometimes would forget. They'd be wearing a linen garment and would come towards evening, and all of a sudden was nightfall, and later, oh, they would remember, I didn't take off my tzitzis. And meanwhile, they are wearing a linen garment which has woolen tchelis. And in such a case, it could not be day chadalav, it could not take priority over the prohibition of shatnes, because there is no kiyama mitzvah, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore they said that you should only put the white tzitzis in out of linen and not the woolen tchelis. Now the Torah says what we read, v'hoye lechem, you shall have tzitzis. It states, Voyelachem et tzitzis, or isem esoy, and you shall see them. Uschatem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. And through this you should remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. Nasisem esoy, and you shall do them. What do we see from here? That the Torah is giving us a reason for this mitzvah. I want you to put tzitzis in your garment in order that you shall see them and you shall remember the mitzvahs, all of my mitzvahs, and you shall do all of them. So we see that from the tzitzis and from seeing the tzitzis, one will remember all of the mitzvahs and one will come to do all of them. This is why the Gemara darshins mitzvah tzitzis is shokel shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kula. The mitzvahs of tzitzis equals all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, because through this it will bring you to fulfill all of these mitzvahs. And Rashi brings this in our parsha. Rashi brings also that the gematria, the numerical value of tzitzis, tof is 400 and tzadik is 180, that's 580, and yud is another 2600, and then there are four, excuse me, yeah, there are eight strands, as we mentioned, and five knots when you tie the tzitzis. That's another 13, so that adds up to 613. In other words, the way we tie the tzitzis themselves, and together with the numerical value, this also is an indication that through the tzitzis you will remember all of the mitzvahs. Now we can ask, why through seeing the tzitzis will one remember all of the mitzvahs and will bring us to do the mitzvahs? We see a lot of things, and it doesn't necessarily make us remember the mitzvahs or bring us to do the mitzvahs. What is the relationship between tzitzis and the mitzvahs Hashem? The Maral says as follows. The word tzitzis is a strange word. What does it mean? Rashi brings Rashi and the other Rishonim bring one of two psukim. Either tzitzasode means what grows in the field, like grass or plants which grow in the field, or vayikocheni b'tzitzis reishi, I took him by the strands of his hair. Tzitzis means something which protrudes, grows out, and that's why the tzitzis are called with that name, because it looks as if they are protruding and growing from the garment. They're placed at the edge of the garment. So this is where the word tzitzis comes from. So what is tzitzis representing? Tzitzis is representing something which grows out. Now the Maral says a principle. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created animal and he created man. Animal, he gave his own name. Every animal has their own name. The lion he called an Ari, and the wolf he called the Av, and the bear he called the Dove. Man, the most important species, he didn't give him his own name. He gave him Hashem, not Hashem HaEtzim, but Hashem HaMushel. He gave him a name which was taken from something else. Called him Adam, because he came from Ha'adoma, from the earth. See? Why? You would think man is so important, he certainly should enjoy his own identification. He says the answer is a name is an identification, made al etzim. The name identifies exactly what the person is. Now we're not speaking here of physical perfection, but of spiritual perfection. An animal is created with the spiritual perfection that he will eventually gain. This is how he's created. There is no growth process spiritually by an animal. Therefore, we can identify him at the time of birth. An Arya spiritually is going to be the same when he's 50 years old as he was when he was 1 day old. So when he's 1 day old, we can identify what he is. Adam HaRishon was the one who gave him those names. He looked at him and he said, Arya is what best describes you. He looked at the wolf, he looked at the bear, and he could identify him exactly. Dove, Zev, this is what identifies you. Man is not like that. Man, at the time of his birth, you cannot identify him spiritually. Because how do you know what he'll be spiritually? And even when he's 20 years old, you cannot identify him spiritually. And even when he's 30 years old, you cannot identify him. Because man is constantly growing. He's constantly growing. He has the capabilities to grow and change spiritually until the day, till the minute of his death. So man can never be identified as to exactly what he is.
perhaps after he leaves this world, but not before. So therefore he's given a name, Ha'adoma, from the earth, because the earth is also like that. What is the earth? Depends what you want to do with the earth. An earth can be a desert, an earth can be a wasteland, an earth can be a garden. From an earth can come a building, can come development. An earth also has only potential growth powers, but it itself is not identifiable. Therefore, animals were given a Shema Etzim, an actual name. Man was only called after his potential. Now, what is the growth of man? The growth of man are his fruits, what grows from him. What is the spiritual growth of man? That's the mitzvahs that grow from him. When he does mitzvahs, he grows spiritually. Now we see the similarity between the mitzvah of tzitzis, whose chatem is called mitzvah Hashem. Because tzitzis are made to look as if they are growing from his garment. And tzitzis is not a sign of something physical, because a physical garment, it's not put there as a physical ornamentation. A person wants a physical ornamentation, he can buy himself a necktie, he can buy himself a keychain, say a pretty beautiful keychain, or something else to hang on his garment. The tzitzis are placed there as a sign of spiritual growth. So now when a person looks at his tzitzis, which represents something which is growing from him, and this is their name, Kitzitz HaSode, Tzitzis Reishi, which grows from the person. And what grows from the person spiritually? Mitzvahs, the fruits of man. These are his mitzvahs. So by looking at this, Urisem Eisei Ushatem is called Mitzvahs Hashem. He will remember all of the mitzvahs Hashem, Masisem Eisom, and he will do them. That's one principle. Second principle. Rashi brings a second interpretation as to what is the mitzvah, what is the word tzitzis. He says tzitzis has another meaning. It means to look. In Shir HaShirim, in Perek Beis, it states, Rashi brings, Umeitzitz mina harakim. I am gazing through the lattice. Hitzitz bo. Meitzitz means to gaze, to look. So Rashi says that's another reason. Tzitzis you look at. So that's another interpretation of the word tzitzis, to look. Now, this is a kasha question. How can one word mean two different interpretations? In Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, it can't be that way. Can't have from one word two entirely different interpretations. Here we're saying tzitz means a growth, and we're saying tzitz means to look. Someone else says, no, that's one thing. He says something which doesn't grow is impossible to see. One sees only what grows. Can you see what the earth holds? Can't see what the earth holds. When do you see what the earth holds? When the growth comes out. Anything that's potential cannot be seen. What is actual can be seen. Fruits can be seen. Potential cannot be seen. And that's why the word seeds means both fruits, growth, and to be seen. And here, the tzitzis represent the fruits of man, which represents mitzvahs. Now, another important point here on this parsha. It states twice in the parsha about seeing, but each one is contradictory to the other. It says, "V'hoyeh lachem tzitzis, you shall have the tzitzis, urisem eisoy, you shall see them, uschatem is called mitzvah Hashem, you will remember all the mitzvahs Hashem, basisem eisoy." All right, good. Then it says, "V'leisasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem." You shouldn't go after your heart and your eyes, asher atem zonim achreim, which you are enticed with. Rashi brings the Gemara that the Gemara brings, "Halev chaimed v'naim lireis reya, anaim reya, v'agufaisa." Yes, avera. So here in one part it says that you'll see the tzitzis and you'll go after your eyes and remember all the mitzvahs. It says Riya, the Gemara says Riya mevili leischira. Riya, by seeing, this will remind you, brings you to memory. Schira mevili leasiya. When you remember, it'll cause you to do. So in one half it says you will see and you'll go do all the mitzvahs. The other half it says, in order that you should not follow your eyes and go to Averus. What do we have here? We have two types of Riyas, two types of seeing. Yesh Riyah Latov, Yesh Riyah Lara. There's sight, which is good, and there's sight, which is bad. In other words, Riyah is an enormous power. Sight is an enormous power. When someone sees, the Maral writes in another place that when someone sees, this comes from the nefesh, the power of sight. The Gemara in Nida brings that Gimel Shutfin Ba'odim, there were three partners in man, a father, a mother, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The father and the mother contribute physical elements to man. A Kodesh Baruch Hu contributes the spiritual elements to man. One of those spiritual elements that's mentioned is the power of sight, because this power of sight comes from the non-physical power in man. It is not something which is merely a biological function, the power of sight. And the source of it is the nefesh ha'odam, the very life of person. And therefore when he sees, makes an imprint on his heart. It makes an imprint, an immediate imprint on his brain. So seeing is one of the most powerful forces that man has. What it says, "Ein edema shmili l'ria." You can't compare hearing something or seeing something. Therefore, "Haria mevi l'idei zechira." When you see, then you remember. When you remember, you do. It all depends what you see. If you see something good, the sight can drive you to do something good. If you see something evil, the sight can drive you to do something evil. This is a medrash which elaborates, but I'll bring only one example. The medrash in Esther, Medrash Rabbah, brings there are those who saw and they brought themselves to destruction. There are those who saw and they brought themselves to eternity. It says, for example, "Vayar homan ki ein modchai kerea mishtache velei vayimole homan chemo." Haman saw that Mordechai wouldn't bow to him, and he became angry, and from there he decided to kill Mordechai, and from there he decided that he'll kill Kol HaYehudim, and from there he ended up, he and his 10 sons, hanging from a tree. This is all because Vayar, what he saw. That scene brought him to evil. He went after his eyes. Medrash brings another example, a different type of example. In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it states, "Vayera elov Hashem eleinei mamrev uyeishi pesach el kechem ayom." HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram. Avram just had the bris mila and he was sick. "Vayisa einov vayar." Avram lifted his eyes and he saw. What did he see? He saw three people standing in the distance. "Vayar," and he saw again. "Vayorats," and he went likrosam to meet them, and he bowed to them, and he said, "Come in." To Abraham, he thought they were travelers. These were the angels which came with the message that Sarah is going to have a son for Abraham, Yitzchok. And from there, Avraham will gain eternity. Because till then, Avraham never had a son from Yitzchak. He had only Yishmael. And the brachas of Hashem would not go to Yishmael. Had he not seen, had he not looked, and he had he not run after them, then he wouldn't have had that. Medrash brings, we see Godel HaKnosis Orchim, that HaKnosis Orchim, we see what it can do. So, Yesh Riyah L'Tayv, Yesh Riyah L'Ra. Haman saw, and he destroyed himself with it. Abraham saw, and there he built himself and his family forever. So that's what it states. You shall see the tzitzis, see what is good, and then let your eyes motivate you to go after it. In order that you shall not be motivated after your eyes and your heart for evil. This is what it's telling us. Now, final point. The Rambam brings at the end of... Incidentally, there's the English saying, which comes from what we're speaking. It states, out of sight, out of mind. You don't see something, you don't remember it. Now, there's two sides to the coin. Good things you shouldn't have out of sight, because if you have it out of sight, then it'll be out of mind. Bad things you should have out of sight, in order that it should be out of mind. Rambam, at the very end, Hilchot Sisters, the Rambam says as follows: Afal pishein odem mechuyev liknais leitalis lisatipo kedei shiase betzitzis. Man is not obligated to put on a four-cornered garment in order to wear tzitzis. The mitzvah is, if he's wearing a four-cornered garment, then he has to put on tzitzis. But still, ein roi la'odem chosid sheifta atzmi mi mitzvizu. But it's not befitting for a person, a righteous person, to liberate himself from this mitzvah. Ela leila mishtadel yes otu b'ksusa mechuyevus b'tzitzis. But he should try to wear a garment that will obligate him in the tzitzis in order to fulfill this mitzvah. And especially during davening, it's actually, he says, it's a great disgrace for a Talmud Chochem, for someone who is wise in Torah, that he should daven and he's not wrapped in the tzitzis. We don't know exactly where it comes from. It's brought, but we have a strange custom. One custom we have is to wear what is known as a talis cotton. In other words, you wear a garment on a regular basis in order that you can fulfill this mitzvah. But then on top of that, when we daven, we put on a talis gotl. The actual source of the talis gotl, the big talis, is not, and also it's brought the various colors that they make the talis in. Tradition to make it with black and white stripes. That is not too clear as to where it comes from, because the person is fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's brought that you should daven with tzitzis, especially when you say krishma, because there you're reading the parsha of tzitzis. But if you have the talis cotton, you already have that on. So why go further? Some want to bring a source, because it states that when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to see him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the tefillah, how to be mispallel to him, the Yud Gimel Midas, the 13 principles. There he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a shliach tzibur wrapped in a talis. But that's a shliach tzibur, that's dafka by the one that's davening. So this is not too clear as to where it comes from. But this is the custom, that when one davens, although it's our custom only for shachris to put on a talis, for minchan marev, we do not put on a talis gordel, a big talis. By the Ashkenazim generally, though, the shliach tzibur does. There are other places in Europe that even the shliach tzibur for minchan marev will not put on a talis gordel. See, so on this, there's what to ask and what to think about. But at any rate, the Rambam says that to have tzitzis on for davening, and he brings also, atufim means to be wrapped in talis. He says especially for a Talmud Chochem, that's very important.
Then he says, La'elam ye odam zoe b'mitzvah. And a person should always try to be careful with the mitzvah sitzis, sharei akos of shok levatola be'kola mitzvahs kula. Because the Torah equalizes the mitzvah of tzitzis to all of the other mitzvahs. As it states, Uri Semeisha, you shall see them. Uschatim is called mitzvahs Hashem. And you remember all of the mitzvahs Hashem. So therefore, since this mitzvah can bring you to all of the mitzvahs, therefore, even though one is not obligated to wear a garment with four corners, which obligates the tzitzis, nevertheless, he should always pursue this mitzvah. These are some of the salient points in this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.